It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great Amber May show. Is here with topics you like out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
I'm so excited that you joined me today on the Amber May show because we're going to be talking about a concept that I came across as I read in my devotions, and the theme of the program today is concubines versus wives. And as I read passages from the Bible of men who had both concubines and wives, I couldn't help but ask myself, why were some women in the Bible good enough to be a concubine but not good enough to be a wife? Both concubines and wives provided offsprings for the male. I know that it's not God's design that in the beginning men should have more than one wife, but nowhere in God's plan was men to have concubines. Concubines came about from a sinful nature of man, not God's plan. As to that, I wonder if those women who were concubines thought less of themselves because they did not have the honor of being the wife of the man they were with. It made me happy to think that we don't have concubines anymore, because the idea of being nothing more than property to a man didn't seem fitting for any female. But then it hit me. We do have concubines, and they're called living girlfriends. It seems that the value of being someone's wife has been diminished. And what about men? Do they not value having favor from the Lord? The Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and finds favor from the Lord. Has society taught us and indoctrinated us, especially females, to stay in the role of a concubine and not a wife? If God placed a wonderful female in a man's life to bless him, why wouldn't he want favor from God? Why wouldn't you want to have the honor of being a wife versus a living girlfriend? And I don't understand these concepts. So joining me today, I have Cynthia Hyatt. She's a psychotherapist. And we're going to break down these complex issues into more simpler terms to give us an understanding of why we're doing these things. And then also, what's the consequences of doing things? The Bible also says the ways that seem right to a man that lead to death. So are we killing our relationships? Welcome, Cynthia, to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So we should break this down, because as I was doing this study, I found a stat that says those who live together before marriage are the least likely to marry each other, and those who live together before marriage have higher separation and divorce rates. What's going on here?
Well, I think it is interesting statistically, because most of us, it seems logical to us that, wow, if you live together, then you should kind of work out some of the kinks, and then you actually go to the next phase, which is then getting married.
Right.
And so it seems logical to us, but we do know statistics. They have proven themselves out, and they're not just, they're secular statistics that are showing this. And the secular researchers were even surprised, because they were expecting to get completely different numbers.
Right.
And so one of the ways that we want to look at that is when you actually marry. And it's more than just standing with, you know, if you do it with a justice of the peace, or if you do it at a church, one of the things that you're establishing is you're witnessing to other people that you are committed to this person, that they belong to you. Mm-hmm. That you want them to, you want to belong to them, and they belong to you. And with belonging always comes responsibility. So if something belongs to me, I now have a lot more responsibility than if it's something I'm borrowing. And so when we look at it that way, and then we look at the fact that we are also entering into a spiritual commitment, even if the people are not necessarily quote-unquote believers, they are standing before God or a judge and taking a commitment, and they're testifying to follow through with that. So that puts more pressure on the relationship in many ways, because it takes it to a higher standard, and it also adds value. And so the second, third, fourth component that happens as well is once you get married, this is from a psychotherapeutic aspect, once you get married, all of those unresolved family of origin issues are going to come flying out. See, if I'm just a girlfriend, then whatever trauma or upset I might have had being someone's girlfriend is different than if I've been having terrible relationships with mom's dad, if I didn't have proper caregiving, if I had abandonment issues, if I was shown what the mom is supposed to be, or shown what a dad is supposed to be, or shown what a husband or a wife is to be. And so when I'm living with somebody, they're not my husband or wife, so I don't have those subconscious expectations on them of what I think a husband is. And those are learned when we're growing up. We just take those in like with osmosis, in that kind of a manner. We don't really think about it. We just watch how dad, husband acts. We watch how mom, wife acts. We integrate that, assimilate that, and that goes into our subconscious or unconscious. And so then it comes flying out when we get married. If we haven't resolved that through premarital counseling, then a lot of that's going to come out. And you can't, unfortunately, you can't resolve everything in premarital counseling.
Right.
We would like to think you could, but... So then when you go forward to get married, all these different expectations that you didn't even know you had are going to come forward.
That makes sense.
Or if you're just living together, then your expectations are what, you know, whatever you think a live-in boyfriend or a live-in commitment is. On top of the fact that when we're living with somebody, we still can have this feeling that it's not as permanent. It's as permanent as I want to make it. And so that gives us this tendency to hold out on each other when we don't even know we're holding out. Versus when you get married, now you're married. And with that comes a whole different paradigm. People don't even know they have it until they get married, then all of a sudden they realize what they had, these expectations they had, and all of a sudden all the rules that they might not have even thought applied when you're living together all of a sudden happen when you're married.
What do you think about this concept I came across on a website called marriagebuilders.com, where the PhD on the website was kind of referring to it as like a lease, a month-to-month kind of relationship. Like, I'm going to be with you until I'm not happy with you anymore, and then I'm out. So it's kind of like, it's not really secure.
Some of that I think can be true, but I think if you talk to anybody that lives with somebody, they would get offended in many ways by that, because they don't like their commitment being demeaned. They don't like it being minimized. So I think what we find is that subconsciously there's this idea that I always can leave. It's easier.
That's true.
I don't like it. It's not like I'm locked in. Where it's a lot harder to divorce. I mean, I always say to people, you know, if the marriage doesn't kill you, the divorce might.
That's true.
Divorces are not fun. Yeah. And so it's a lot more serious. So we have that aspect. The other aspect to this is when people are living together, because they're not married, many times they lower their expectations. They will tolerate things because, well, we're not really married. And so I can maybe overlook things. I'm also not trying to become that one flesh idea. So I'm not trying to combine every part of my being, all of my life. I'm still having an independent life, per se. And so there's a lot of things that I might tolerate that as soon as those live together people get married, all of a sudden the rules change. And there's things they will not tolerate when they're married. And so it's a very fascinating process for people to go through, and they start, and many times they don't make it.
You know, as I was reading in some of the stats I came across, they said that married people have a happier sex life than those who are unmarried, even though they might be having as much sex with one another. Why do you think that would be?
Well, because there's a deference to one another when you're married. Again, we're adding value. And so even if the marriage is not super functional, there's this feeling that people have when someone will marry me. There's inherent value in that.
That's I agree.
People will stay in marriages that are horrible because they at least like the idea, I'm married, somebody's with me, somebody's committed to me, somebody has wanted me in this way. And so we always know that that increases, that makes the sex that much more enjoyable. And it makes people feel safer, which means that they can be freer. It makes them feel more accepted in many ways. It also doesn't cause them to feel like, well, if I give myself to this person sexually, what if they move out tomorrow? And so there's a security factor that comes in. Even when the marriage doesn't feel good, there is still a piece of paper. There is still a testifying to a group of people, however big, that we got married. Everybody knows it. And so there's a security that comes in just some outside parameters that hold people together.
You know, you've already talked about some aspects of when people say marriage is nothing but a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And I've always disagreed with that statement because, first of all, you've already talked about that it's a commitment before people and God.
Or and, authority, which is the judge.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you're making a commitment that you guys are going to take care of each other, and it's a bold statement that you're making. And then you already talked about intimacy right now and how there's a huge difference between, you know, dating and non-dating because, again, dating, they can be gone tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Whereas a marriage, it takes a long time to separate and go your own separate ways. Right. So those people that say marriage is nothing but a piece of paper, that's not correct.
Well, if it were just a piece of paper, then people wouldn't be doing it and divorces wouldn't be so painful. When you go through a divorce, there is a tearing that is so much different than when you break up with somebody. It's a very different process, and it's hard to describe to people unless they've gone through it. And so when you talk about, well, it's just a piece of paper, I'm like, well, that piece of paper is pretty weighty. The same way as, well, my mortgage is just a piece of paper. Okay, it's pretty weighty.
That is a
covenant. That's a contract that I have made. And that is, and God says to us, when you make a vow, you fulfill it quickly. So when we are making a vow to love, honor, respect somebody, to care for them, when we are making that vow and we're doing it before other people and God, there's a certain spiritual dynamic that holds us universally to that. Even if we don't intellectually or cognitively think we're going to hold ourselves to it, even if emotionally we say, I've divorced this person emotionally. You may have. And most people have to go through that process before they're even actually able to divorce. But even after they've emotionally divorced the person, and they're just living together, they don't even talk, they don't even care, they don't even like the person, as soon as they start going through a divorce, it is a weight that is really heavy.
Now, you also mentioned about being one flesh, and I believe that too, because the Bible says a husband will leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they'll become one flesh. Now, I really feel like sex is what helps and makes that one flesh for a couple reasons. You're actually coming together. Fluids are being exchanged. For women, I was told that there's a chemical that gets released during sex and during breastfeeding that bonds her to her child or to her husband. And then, not only that, but if there's a child that gets produced, the two did actually become one flesh.
That's right.
So, can you talk to us about the whole dynamic, mentally and physically, what we go through, especially females? Because I don't know as much, maybe you can enlighten me more on what men go through, or if they have any kind of reaction like that, because I'm clueless. That would be really helpful.
Well, men don't bond sexually the same way that women do, but they do bond in that way, especially when it's a wife versus a mistress versus a girlfriend. Because one of the things that is interesting about men that we find is men really rarely divorce. 86% of divorces are initiated by women.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
That's because women, we're the ones that can't take it. See, men can tolerate a bad relationship easier than women can.
That's fascinating.
And men, there's this strange phenomenon. Once they decide on a woman, they rarely revisit it. Whereas with us as women, we are so fickle. It's like from day to day, I'm reevaluating the relationship. Do I really like him today? Why did he wear those shoes? He looks so silly. Did he really just say that in front of everybody? Oh my gosh, I'm not attracted to him now. Okay.
Uh-huh. That sounds right.
Every day we're thinking how we feel about them. Men, they don't. Once they decide, that's it. Whether you're however you look, however you act, whatever you're looking like from day to day, they may have a preference of how they would prefer you look, but they don't sit there deciding whether or not they want you to be their wife anymore. Now, if they have a really bad marriage, they may go get a mistress, or they may just go work a lot harder, okay? They may get into pornography, they may get into weightlifting, they may go make a whole bunch of money.
Play golf or something.
Right. And so they'll get some kind of a mistress that is making them feel successful.
And if you'd like to contact me, you can write me at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385. That's P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385. And always check me out on the web at AmberMayShow.com. That's TheAmberMayShow.com. And you can email me there and get any information. Check out my corner store.